Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
It is a fact that the society in which we live is the most prosperous society that the world has ever known throughout its entire history. And that prosperity is not just confined to this nation, but it can be seen among many people all around the world. We are so comfortable. We are so well fed. We're well cared for, even to the point of self-indulgence, where we seek to satisfy our every whim, our every desire, and we have come to see those whims and those impulses, those selfish desires, as the necessities of life. But it is also a fact that despite our prosperity, in no time in history has there been so much stress, so much stress-related illness, and so much anxiety and fear among the people of this world. So we attempt to numb ourselves in a superficial effort to find rest and to find peace, whatever way we can. But that is not peace at all. So in Luke chapter 12, as Jesus addressed a group of his followers who were among a massive crowd of people, he told them how to find peace. He told them not to worry about their lives. Told them not to stress out. Because those of us who belong to him can trust in him. We are in his care, in this life and in the life to come. And he used the example of a raven to prove his point. The raven was a bird that was considered unclean among those people, and so it was despised. And yet, Jesus told his followers, God supplies what those birds need in order for them to survive. So we are not to become preoccupied. We are not to become weighted down and distracted by worry, because God will supply our needs, because certainly we are more important to God than ravens. He is the one who has given us life. He's the one who's given us breath. So will he not give us what we need to sustain our life as long as he wants us here on this earth? It is useless to worry, Jesus adds. Will worrying extend our life by an hour? Will it extend it by a minute? Well, no, of course it won't. Consider the lilies of the field, Jesus says. They do nothing but grow in that field. And yet not even King Solomon, with all of his wealth, was clothed in such brilliant colors as those flowers are clothed. And they're just flowers. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. So Jesus asks his followers this question. Will not your Father in heaven do much more for you, men and women of little faith? The people of this world worry about these things. Why? Because they have no hope anywhere else. But our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and we are never outside of His care because He is our Father. We are His children, and so our lives are forever connected to Him. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus encourages His followers, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so Jesus continues to encourage His followers. And in verse 32 of Luke chapter 12, He says, "Do not be afraid. Do not live in fear, little flock." Poimnion in Greek. Helpless, a helpless flock of sheep who need to be fed, who need to be cared for, need to be protected. Do not fear, because you are small and weak, and that those who oppose you are many, and they are strong. You are heirs of God. You are those who will receive heavenly blessings, the blessings of salvation forever. No good thing will He withhold from you. We are heirs. We are heirs according to His promise, heirs according to His word. And what is to be our portion of that inheritance? What are we heirs of? What is our greatest blessing? What is the greatest blessing that we will receive in heaven? Our greatest blessing is Him. We will be with Him forever. We will be in His presence for all eternity. That is the blessing that we have. But not only are we heirs of that blessing, we are told that we are fellow heirs with Christ, it says in Romans 8:17. We will receive what He receives. We will share in the limitless resources of Christ, a spiritual inheritance without end. He's given it all to us. We're fellow heirs of His eternal kingdom. So we will shine forth in that kingdom forever. So what do we have to fear? Why should we fear? Because Jesus says, "Your Father in heaven has chosen gladly," eudokeo in Greek. He is pleased greatly to give you the kingdom. All of the riches of righteousness, all of the riches of peace and of joy belong to us who belong to Christ. So why should we worry? Why should we stress? Why should we worry about the future when our future will be blessed forever? Will He not give us what we need to serve Him in that kingdom, in that spiritual kingdom now? But as Jesus looked around at His followers in that crowd, He knew that in their lives, in their hearts, there were things that were troubling them. There were things that were getting in the way of following Him with their whole heart. And that is what He requires of us. He requires our heart. That is what He demands. He requires our life. And so in verse 33, Jesus makes this shocking statement to His followers, and He says to them, sell your possessions if your possessions are getting in the way of following me. And give what you have to charity. Elemosune in Greek. Give freely to others with mercy and with compassion. What does he say? Be willing to give up everything. Everything, even your own life, if that is what is necessary. And then take up your cross. Be willing to suffer and follow me. And make yourself belts, he says, money belts, which do not wear out. Paleo'o, which won't become obsolete and useless. Build your lives on an unfailing treasure, on a treasure that is in heaven. Anekleptos, on a treasure that is unceasing, a treasure that will last forever. Don't focus on this life. Don't focus on the things of this life. Focus on your treasure in heaven. Because there, Jesus says, no thief will come near to steal that treasure, nor will moth or rust be able to destroy that treasure. Diaphero in Greek. It will not be corrupted. It will not be spoiled. It will not fade away. It will last forever. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, there will your heart be also. Our treasure is in heaven because our treasure is Christ. So weep and mourn. Weep and mourn over your sin. Long for the righteousness that we will have in heaven. Don't let anything get in the way of following after Christ. Thirst for him. Long for him. Long for him with all your heart. And then Jesus adds in verse 35, be dressed in readiness. Peridzonomi in Greek. Pull up your garment so that you don't trip over it when it is time to go home to heaven. Be ready. Don't become distracted. Don't become distracted because his return could happen at any moment. Keep your lamps lit. Stay awake. Be on the alert. Don't go stumbling around in the dark, not understanding what the truth is that's found in the Word of God as these things are unfolding all around us. Live soberly, live righteously, live faithfully. Be careful to honor the Lord. These are his instructions to us who belong to him. Do these things because the day of his return is approaching. Live with that expectation. Live knowing that our departure from this earth will be soon and we will go home to be with him in heaven. And Jesus then says in verse 36 what we are to be like. He says we're to be like men who are waiting for their master, waiting for him to return from a wedding feast. And though the hour is late, and though they don't know the exact time of his return, still, what are they doing? We are told they are anxiously awaiting him so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks on the door. Blessed are those bondservants whom their master shall find on the alert. gregoiuo in Greek, who are awake, who are waiting for him. Waiting for him when he comes. Truly I say to you, Jesus says in verse 37, that because of their faithfulness, because they will be found waiting for him when he returns, their master will gird himself with a servant's apron in order to serve them. And he will have them, his slaves, us, recline at the table, and he will come up to them. Pereromai, he will come alongside of them, and he will wait on them and serve them a meal. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ serving a meal to us as his slaves, his servants. So, Jesus says in verse 38, whether he comes back in the second watch, sometime between 9 p.m. and 12 midnight, while it is still dark, or even if he returns in the third watch, sometime between 12 midnight and 3 a.m. when everyone is asleep, and I am concerned that everyone is asleep today, that many people are preoccupied with many things. But if he finds us watching and waiting, then he says, we are blessed. Blessed are those faithful slaves who belong to him, who are watching and waiting for his return. And you can be sure of this, Jesus adds, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have his house to be broken into. Diorouso in Greek, to go through the wall. He wouldn't allow the thief to dig through the wall and go into his house. So, you too, do not fear, do not become troubled in this troubled world, but instead, Jesus says, be ready. Hethamos in Greek, be prepared. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour, hora, at a time, at a moment of time, that you do not even expect, dokeo. That has not even entered into your mind, into your thinking. But the fact is that he is coming back. As we are reminded in Daniel chapter 7, he is coming in the clouds of heaven. So don't be troubled as you live in this troubled world. Because we're told in Luke 21:28, our redemption is drawing near. So lift up your head, lift up your heart, for our Lord is standing right at the door. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.